Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, beloved ones. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife, Tarina Mwamba, here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America, broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio on the Mwamba World Outreach School of Ministry here in Dallas, Texas. Well, I welcome you all, wherever you are, beloved ones. This is a brand new day that the Lord has made. We're having a wonderful time here. Like I said, the Pope is visiting the United States. He just spoke to Congress, Combined House of Congress and the House of Representatives yesterday. And today he has been in New York and been seeing postings on Facebook, on social media. He's having a tremendous time there. He's going to have a service there. And I think he's canonizing one of the great priests that worked years ago here in the United States of America. Well, he's a well-respected man, as you know. Through him, diplomatic relations were opened with Cuba, and we're expecting more. He talked about the environmental effects of not attending to it and, you know, trying to save this planet that God gave us. People are excited about the coming of the Pope. And today, again, we heard here those who are in the United States, you know, about Boehner, who is the Speaker of the House of Representatives, resigning. Apparently, nobody expected this coming, but he said he had planned to resign. John Boehner, last chair. Now he's going to resign this coming October. I think his birthday is on the 17th of November, he said. It's amazing how suddenly you can get a resignation. He has been very opposing, standing his ground, saying, Obama, we're going to make sure he's a one-term president. But anyway, things have taken another route. But anyway, friends, here we are. The weather here is hot in Texas, really hot in Dallas. But it's cooling down now this afternoon as I'm broadcasting live here on Blog Talk Radio. Well, yesterday I shared with you about how to be born again. And I know those who listened, you received quite some keys to being born again. Today I'm going another step further. I'm going into looking at overcoming temptation. Now, if you have a laptop or a computer or whatever instrumentality you are listening and watching me or listening to me, not really watching, if you can watch is when I'm doing YouTube presentations, but here I'm on radio, so those who are listening on whatever instrumentality you're using, you'll see that I said overcoming temptation. I'm taking my teachings from the book of James and chapter number 1. There are James, you know, he talks quite deeply about temptation. Both James and Peter are people who really talk about temptation. By the way, you know, James was a brother, a half-brother, we can say, because James was not so much, although they were James and Jesus Christ, had their father as Joseph, but you know, Jesus was not conceived by the seed that came from Joseph, in a sense of genetic sperm. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Ghost, but the womb that carried Jesus is the same womb that carried James, you see. So he's his half brother in a sense, because they don't have that genetic connection with the father Joseph. Okay. But James was converted to Christianity and started, he believed his own brother, his half brother, Jesus, and walked the walk and he gave himself for the gospel. He lived and believed that his half brother was actually the Son of God. And that's amazing when family members believe who you are, that you are a called servant of the Most High God. You are a child of God whom they begin to respect. That's very, very important. And so we see here, let's read the scriptures to get ourselves more into this, you know, subject. In verse number 12 of James chapter number 1, I read from my Living Bible. This is a Living Bible from, you call it, actually it was a written by, published by Zondervan. They call it Zondervan? Yeah. And I like it because it's got this English that is very, you know, it's actually the Amplified Bible. Amplified, that means it amplifies or makes a thought more understandable in our today's language, which we might say contemporary language. Okay, James chapter 1, reading from verse number 12. Blessed or happy to be envied is the man who is patient under trial and stands up under temptation, for when he has stood the test and has been approved, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted from God. For God is incapable of being tempted by, in close brackets, what is evil, after the brackets, and he himself, who is God, he himself tempts no one. Verse number 14 of James chapter number 1. But every person is tempted when he is drawn away, enticed and baited by his own evil desire. In close brackets, lust or passions. Verse number 15. Then the evil desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully matured, brings forth death. Verse 16. Do not be misled, my brethren, or my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect, in close brackets, free, large, full, close brackets, gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of all, that gives light in the shining of, that's in brackets, open brackets, shining of, close brackets, whom there can be no variation, open brackets, rising or setting, close brackets, or shadow cast by his turning, as in an eclipse, in brackets. Now, in the King James Version, here it says, the Father of lights with whom there is no shadow of turning. That means it doesn't change. Right. Now, here, friends, we are with James, the brother of our Lord Jesus Christ, the half-brother. He's giving us the principles or the steps by which sin can be conceived in a Christian. He says that blessed and happy to be envied is the man who is patient under trial and stands up under temptation. He says stands up under temptation. That means, you know, when temptation comes, you are not supposed to succumb to temptation and be subdued by temptation or collapse due to temptation. But you are to stand your ground when you are tempted and overcome that temptation. That's the key. All the learning you receive, you go to church, you read the Bible every day, you pray, makes you ready to be an overcomer in the time of temptation. The praying you do, the reading you do, the studies you do of the Word of God, and whatever Word of God you hear, prepares you to stand the test. When temptation comes, you're supposed to overcome it. That's why we learn the Word of God. That's why we study, so that we can be strong and overcome the temptation when it comes to us. The Bible here says, for when he has stood the test, James 1 verse 12, and been approved, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. You see, the key factor here is when temptation comes, you have to patiently withstand it. You have to overcome. The Bible says when he has stood the test, it's a test, mind you. There are tests that the devil throws to us, and God uses it in turn to become a test. See, God does not tempt anybody with evil. But you see, the temptations that the devil brings, God uses it to build us up in virtue and also to grant us victory when we overcome it. You see, it says here, for when he has stood the test and been approved. You see, when you are being tempted, it's a test. So when you pass the test, you are approved. You receive a reward for it. You see, for every temptation that you overcome, it brings you to a higher level of responsibility in your walk of faith with the Lord. You see, God has got to entrust you with things of the kingdom. And God is not just going to entrust you with things of the kingdom if at every whim, a temptation comes and you crumble and you fall. God is not going to trust you the secrets of the kingdom of God, the dividends that can change the world, because he knows you are not trustworthy. You collapse, you crash under pressure. You collapse, you crash when you are tempted, just like Samson collapsed and crashed. He ended up losing his two eyes, and he was no good for the kingdom. In losing two eyes, to us who are today living as Christians, will be like you lose your vision of the things of God. You can't see clearly the guidance of God. Your vision is dim. You can't see the future. You see, Samson, because he failed the temptations that came to him through Delilah, the enemy ended up taking his eyes or gouging them out when they got him. You remember he had power in his hair? And nobody knew that because of his hair, which was not cut, that's how God anointed this man as a Nazarene or Nazarite and gave him such supernatural power to defeat the enemy. But you see, the enemy will always look for a key to bring you down. What you need to know, child of God, wherever you are, that you are very dangerous to the devil in the hands of God. You see, God cannot just always send the angels to come and do things on this earth. God depends on us human beings because we are the ones who have been entrusted with the spreading of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Angels cannot preach the kingdom of God. Angels cannot propagate the gospel. They can't preach to human beings. The gospel of the kingdom has been entrusted to human beings. Human beings minister to fellow human beings. See, angels are in another realm. They are celestial beings. They live in a celestial world. They live in a world outside our own world. When you get into the world of the angels, then you can see them, you know. But right now, as we are in this physical world, we cannot so much as see the angels, but they are there, everywhere. Just that they're on another plane. They're in another, a revolution, you can say. They're at another frequency. It's just the frequency of events. They are on a higher frequency that it makes them look invisible to us because we are in a lower frequency. They're in a higher frequency there where they can be seen by God, where they see each other as angels. But here on a lower frequency, we cannot see them. You have to go into the spirit realms to see the angels. Like, for example, people who leave this world and maybe leave their body and die, then they're in a higher frequency. They can see angels because they're in another world. So what I'm saying is that angels are on another plane, in the spirit realms, where we cannot see them with our naked eye. They're just at the higher frequency. and they travel at the speed of light. You know, they are very fast in their travel. In actual, you say not the speed of light, but they travel at the speed of thought. Angels will think of being in London and they'll be there within an instant. The way they think it is the way they travel. And so here, James is saying that if you can overcome the temptation, you receive a reward. You see, it's by your overcoming, my overcoming the temptation, that promotion comes from the Lord, you see. When Adam and Eve failed to pass the test in the garden and succumbed to the temptation of the devil, of the forbidden fruit, they died. They failed the test. That's all. That's what it is. Every time you fail the test, there are consequences. There are consequences in the spirit realms in that you do not go on a higher level. You keep on flopping and getting back to the same level where you were before. To advance in the things of God, you have to pass these tests. You have to pass tests when the devil corners you and tempts you with, say, hey, take this money, take such kind of money which is not yours. You misuse funds maybe from the church, or you get involved with a married woman in a scene of adultery, whatever it is, and then that brings you back, sets you back in your walk of faith. Every time we fail in the spirit realms, when we sin, we lose virtue. Virtue is the thing that keeps us in the realm of the spirit. See, the more you live a holy life, the greater the spiritual virtue you have in you to do great things in God. You see, like big ministries that are running at a higher frequency or be doing great things, the holiness amongst them creates a virtue that commands things to happen. See, when there is sin, the holy virtue is decreased. When there is sin, the righteousness of the Lord is decreased. When you decrease the righteousness of the Lord, you decrease the virtue of God, you decrease the power to do things. That's why many times when you are in sin, you can pray and God will hear you, and you can ask for miracles. God will hear you, but you see, it will not happen at the same level like when you live a holy life. That's why the Bible says, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That word avail means it's dynamic in its working, just because that person is righteous. To be righteous means to be accounted as having no sin, or to live a clean spiritual life with no impediments. When I talk of impediments, I mean without pitfalls in your spiritual walk, sins cluttered in your life. The more you have the sin cluttered in your life, it decreases the amount of power you have in prayer. You see, the amount of power you have in prayer is equivalent to the holy life that you live. The extent of the power of the prayer that you pray and its effectiveness is equivalent to the holiness that you live. When you are a holy person, the power in you is so great that you can hold the whole city at ransom, in a sense. But when I say ransom, you can hold a city to your command in the spirit realms. God can place you as a commander of that particular city because of the virtue, the holy virtue that's in you. You see, Joshua was so holy to the extent that even the children of Israel could not, you know, I mean, compare. You remember they went 12 spies to go spy out the land? But it was only Joshua and Caleb that came with a positive report, because the Bible said they had a different spirit. The effectiveness of your Christian life is measured by you having a different spirit. What's a different spirit? What different spirit did Joshua have? Joshua had a different spirit in the sense that he believed God, that whatever God said was going to happen. it was going to come to pass. They were going to take the land, overcome the enemy, and possess the land of Canaan. But you see, the other 12, the other 10 doubted God. They didn't have the same kind of spirit. You see, when you are living in a defeatist attitude, a spirit of sin, a spirit whereby you have lost the virtue of God, it's very easy to be intimidated by the devil, and it's very easy not to believe in great things to come to pass. So here James is saying, let in verse number 13 of James chapter number 1, he says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted from God. For God is incapable of being tempted by what is evil, and he himself tempts no one. Here James is clarifying. Many times people say, well, God tempted me. Oh, I'm bad God. The Bible here is telling us God does not tempt anybody, because there is no evil in God for him to use to tempt you. See? Evil is in the devil. He's the one who sets up all these traps and strategies to bring us children of God down. Because he knows if he can bring us down, there will be nobody to fight the battle on behalf of God, you see. So he will make sure he has a strategy where key people, those who are doing exploits in the kingdom of God, makes them fall. So that once they fall and once they are soiled, they lose the impact in the spirit. So they cannot so much as defeat him to the extent of washing him out if they were living a holy life. He says in verse 14, but every person is tempted when he is drawn away or enticed and baited by his own evil desire or lust or passions. You see, in our human build-up, there are passions. There are sexual passions, there are appetites of eating food, these passions that build up in us human beings. That's how we are made. We know when we look at a woman, you know, depending on the level of your resistance, things that's going through your head, you know, about a woman. Those are passions, you see. And I think a woman, when he looks at a man, depending on what's going on in her, passion starts to run. Now, these passions are supposed to be kept under control. Just because a passion has run out, like say, for example, you are hungry and you don't have food immediately, you cannot say, well, since I'm in this supermarket, I'm going to take a bag of chips and walk out because I've got this hunger passion on me, I must eat. No, you control yourself. You don't take a bag of chips, or you don't take some glazed donut from a case, walk out without paying, you're committing a crime. They will arrest you and put you in jail. Is what I'm saying? Now, in a similar manner, there are passions within us which would demand things. They would demand to have a sexual relationship uncalled for. That kind of passion, when it comes at the wrong time and the person is not your spouse and stuff, you cut it off. You see, we have power to subject the passions to the higher power of God. That's why the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. So we have these powers that are trying to build strongholds in our mind, forcing us to do things we cannot naturally do. That's why sometimes, you know, to boast around and say, hey, me, I've made it, I can never fall. You've got to be very careful, because nobody can be insulated from falling. There have been great men of God who have stumbled and fallen. We all walk and live by the grace of God. We must always rest and get assured in this fact that it's the grace of God that takes us from day to day. I like the scripture that I think it's the Apostle Paul put up. as the people start to talk about predestination. You know, predestination means God has earmarked you to be in heaven, be a child of God, and finally be with Him in heaven. But you see, the predestination, when you go in different schools of thought, in theology, we find out like Calvinists and Arminians and different groups of thought, they believe, like I think it's Arminians who believe, or the Pentecostals, Presbyterians, and these Reformed churches from the Catholic faith, as it was, people like Martin Luther, they believe in keeping your faith to the very end. You see, we have a walk whereby we have to keep this faith to the very end. The keeping of the faith to the very end, that's where it all boils down to. See, I can overcome today, overcome tomorrow, but you see, it doesn't end there. I must keep overcoming to the very end. You say, Bishop Mwamba, when is the end? Well, I believe the end is when, like, the Lord comes to come and bring these all worlds into judgment and redeem, take with Him all of us who are redeemed. Or the end can come when you die and leave this world, because the world is still running and God has not yet come. So with you, the end has come when you leave this world, when you die. So the measure of your reward will be calculated from the time that you were born again to the time of your passing, to the end time. That's your end. God will look at your life and see how you committed yourself through the years that you lived upon this planet. Were you committed to the vision that God gave you? Did you walk circumspectly and do the will of God? Did you waste the time that God gave you in living a righteous life like that prodigal son did, who took of his share from his father and went and lived a righteous life, spending time in nightclubs and spending time with prostitutes, and eventually he was broke and was eating food given to pigs? What it means is that if you are not careful in this Christian walk, you can leave the place of grace and you can fall from grace to the extent that you will be wallowing in sin, and the devil will take advantage of you, and he will pin you down, and eventually he will blind you spiritually, that you cannot see the things of the kingdom like it happened to Samson. But you see, the key factor is we have to be a people who stand our ground no matter what comes our way. When temptation comes, Peter said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. What it means is that when temptation is brought to you by the devil, you have the capacity in you that God placed in you to resist that temptation. In resisting temptation, that's a spiritual warfare you're exercising. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So you keep confessing and calling upon the Father and say, Lord Jesus, I call upon your name. Strengthen me. Give me power to resist these devils. Give me the spiritual backing that I need. And as you are tempted and you are in prayer, eventually you'll be able to overcome the enemy. So, in a nutshell, the devil cannot overcome us. We are children of God. We have the Spirit of the Lord. We have the armor and the weapons to defeat the devil. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil in the evil day. There is an evil day that the devil has set for each and every one of us. But when we get that spiritual armor on us, we'll be able to withstand the onslaughts of the devil. Having the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, are now featured with the preparation of the gospel of peace, we'll be able to overcome the devil. Well, friends, this is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba encouraging you. You have the capacity to overcome the devil, and we shall do it together in the name of the Lord. God will give us the grace to overcome Satan. And guess what? We will overcome him and be winners in our Christian walk. God bless you. I'll talk to you again tomorrow. And bye-bye. God bless you. We'll talk to you again. Bye-bye.